Here we go.
There's a drive.
Welcome into the drive.
It's all about intensity.
Swing and a drive.
Don't get out tough. Don't let them rain threes on you.
High drive to left field.
That was incredible.
I think this team showed their full arsenal.
The drive of the game.
So what? The teams are coming after you. Go after them.
Fully impressed with the team effort.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is absolutely right.
Lon finally hit the irrational button.
And he drives one.
Coach Derek Piper here.
Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman,
Brad Underwood,
Brett Bielema, Illinois football coach. How are you, sir?
Let's go for a little ride.
All right, so that's not going to happen tomorrow.
I'm sorry.
I'm so embarrassed about it, I'm not even going
to
say it on the radio.
You don't have to.
Because normally I just divulge everything. I mean, people pretty much know my life. I'm not going to divulge this one. It's just too embarrassing. Yep. And I'm so mad at myself, but what do you do? All right, 217-359-2255. Cubbies won, Derek Piper, but boy, Trevor was starting to get a little nervous. He actually was standing, behind you and I in our studio watching the end of the Cubs game. Here the Cubs were just sailing along 3-0. They get to the ninth inning. All of a sudden, it's 3-1. Then a little flare hit makes it 3-2. Then they load the bases, hitting a guy. But they got out of it.
Trevor was a little nervous.
He was very nervous.
I thought he was just supervising, like making sure we were doing the right things. We're trying to meet him, get him off in time.
Yeah, right. It was.
Gotta hit our brakes. No.
He was just nervous as all get out, weren't you?
Do you think it would help, Derek, if I stood behind Lon for the entire show?
Oh,
and
no.
And sort of like, I don't know, applied like a little taser or something. Not a taser, but like a little shock.
A little shock.
When he goes over a few minutes or...
I would be sore every day. Every day I would be sore because I go over all the time. I mean, that's what I do because I like to talk too much. And then I'm like, I'll fit those breaks in. But we do, by the way, appreciate all of our sponsors because they make this happen. And we, honestly, about once every 6 months I say this, but when we go to commercial, listen, I'm just like you. There are times when commercials come on and you just kind of, you know, I don't know if you just, maybe sometimes you just kind of daydream or you're thinking of something else. Or maybe you hit the button, you go to a different station. I mean, that's understandable. But, you know, we enjoy doing this show, Derek. And Trevor, obviously, is a big, huge part of the show. The three of us enjoy being here and doing the show, and we would not be able to do it without our wonderful sponsors. So all we ask is, if you hear a commercial and they're doing a deal, or if you hear a commercial and maybe it's, I don't even know, I'm not even going to say it. If there's some commercial, that, you know, let's say Game Day Spirit, and you're in the need to buy a gift for someone and you know it's Illinois related, well, do us a favor and go and get it done at Game Day Spirit. I mean, that's just an example of one of our great sponsors. So,
plus, how could you turn down Georgie saying yes sir at the end of the ad?
Amazing. Amazing. All right, one thing we do always do, and Diane is even throwing it in here due to the Cubs winning. We always do this at... Did we do this last Friday? We weren't here last Friday. Yeah, we were off, right? Have we been off the last two Fridays? It seems like years ago.
I think one of them was a one-hour show, so we didn't get to crack it open at 5.
Dang it. Oh, that's right. Okay, so we're going to make that up today. So all of you have been just honestly hanging around for a couple of weeks with this cold beer in your hand. You know, if it's wine, pop the top. Let's go. Get it poured. If you're into mixed drinks, maybe, maybe you've already mixed it up. You're ready to roll. Cold beer there on a Friday. It's hard to beat that. Now, we are the professionals. We can't partake in this, but we have your back, or you have our back, and you enjoy it. So what are we doing it to today? Chester Frazier. How about that?
There you go.
This is to Chester Frazier joining Illinois' basketball team. I would have done it to Zach Davies, but he can't strike out more than one guy. So Chester Frazier wins. Hold him high, baby. It's The Drive with Faye and Piper. Good afternoon. Lonte, Derek, Piper, Trent. I did it again. I swear to God, I'm not doing this on purpose. Trevor Valise on as well. Still no news from Hans D. Can somebody text Hans just to see if he's coming or is he doing some transcontinental flight to Evansville again? Probably is the case. So I don't know that we're going to have who you got.
Maybe he got promoted to fly Josh Whitman around.
Ooh.
Josh Whitman and Brad Underwood to do some of these interviews.
It's not a bad idea. You'd think he would tell us.
He might.
But maybe they said, you don't get the job if you tell Pipes or Tay or
He never tells us when he's coming in, so no. Why would he tell us that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not, look, he didn't have to be here 2 weeks ago because we were off early. He didn't have to be here last week because we didn't have a show. So you'd think that he could maybe show up today. Is that too much to ask for a guy that makes more money than any of us here at the station?
Yes.
But no.
He's at home researching some random cricket match he's going to quiz us on.
Right.
Always making us look bad.
He totally does. And we found out we couldn't bet. You can bet cricket, but we didn't have that match. I was really gung-ho on betting cricket that day, but we didn't get it done, so we couldn't do that. All right, so plenty to talk about this hour. We'll preview the Cardinals as they get set to face the Colorado Rockies. The interesting thing there is that you got a couple of players now on the other team squaring off tonight, and, of course, for the Cardinals, that's Nolan Arenado, who today publicly made a statement at the end of his press conference or his Zoom call, basically saying, hey, I wish Albert Pujols the best. You're my favorite player. Yada, yada. And that'd be great. Yadi Molina.
He said yada, yada.
Yeah, speaking of yada, yada. He didn't say that. Speaking of yada, he put out on Instagram of when Albert was in St. Louis with the Angels. You were there. And they had a picture after the game. They had swapped jerseys. So Pujols was holding Yadi Molina's Cardinals jersey and vice versa with Yadi holding Albert's, and he just kind of said, like, let's bring the gang back together or something. So I don't know. It just seems to me with Pujols that it's going to happen for the Cardinals. Or maybe it's the fact that since it hasn't happened already, maybe it won't be happening, but we did establish that you have to clear waivers first. And obviously, and I know somebody had sent this in, and I knew this part. If you claim Albert Pujols right now off waivers, then you have to pay him what he's making this year. So nobody is going to pick up Albert Pujols on waivers. But if you allow him to pass through waivers, then it just becomes a free-for-all. Whoever wants to sign him as a free agent, and I assume you do have to, like Derek said, pay him something to play for you. So we'll see what happens. Now, wouldn't that be amazing that Albert Pujols essentially left the Cardinals due to money? Can you imagine if the Cardinals reached out and said, hey, we want to bring you back. Let's have a swan song. And he's like, well, I need to make $12 million. And they're like, excuse me?
Not a chance. Not a chance.
I mean, would you pay him $1 million? You'd pay him $1 million.
I'd pay him $1 million.
What is the league minimum now? Is it 800,000 or is it over $1 million? For some reason, I was thinking 1.2 million. I could be wrong. Trevor's looking that up. He had a little Mark Tupper where he's like,
it's only 570K.
Oh, I thought it was more than that.
Now, the average annual salary is 4.2 mil.
Oh.
But that's not what you have to pay the lowest league minimum. The league minimum went from 555 to 570.
Wow, I thought it was more than that. Okay, so I guess if you offered him just the league minimum, you'd pay him $500,000.
Also, the second Google result under what is the league minimum is Google, who is the poorest team in the MLB?
And?
It's the Miami Marlins.
Okay.
They're the least valuable franchise. So Derek Jeter's investment, not exactly pointing upward.
No, not at all. Well,
Albert is literally making $30 million this year. 29 before that, 28 before that, 27 before that.
So surely
he doesn't need anything more than the league minimum.
No.
Which he should just donate to charity.
Exactly. And you'd think, you know, like, I understand that it's all an ego-based thing here. And he's like, well, I need to make something. But yeah, he doesn't really need to make anything. He's making money. He's being paid handsomely by the Angels to go somewhere else. So that's where we're at on that. I, for one, want this to happen with the Cardinals. I really, really want this to happen with the Cardinals. And we'll figure it out from there as to who needs to leave or whatever. And I know you mentioned yesterday that you don't need Carp and Pujols. I mean, and I don't even know if he'd really help, but
You could bring up any name.
Yeah.
And I could say, you could just get rid of Matt Carpenter.
Because isn't he seven? Exactly. Isn't he seven home runs away from 600? Is that right? So he could actually reach that milestone with the Cardinals. I think it's something like that, to where is it 600?
He is currently at 667.
Oh, I was thinking that he was, okay.
I think it's surpassed the person in front of him for like sixth place all time or something.
Okay, well then that's not as like dreamy as I thought.
Still, I'd be just as annoyed as a Cubs
fan. Angels fans are saying, you're telling me.
Yeah, right.
What did he play? He played 9.5 seasons with the Angels. And that...
I just need a breakdown of the tampering rules, because we got Arenado saying he's my favorite player.
Know.
We got Yachty posting pictures. He's still on the waiver wire. You can't talk about him like that yet.
Mm. Well, maybe he's off of it by now. We just don't know.
That's true.
How does the waiver wire work? Like, I know it's the worst team gets the first crack, but is that literally just like, at starting at 5 o'clock Central, Albert's on the waiver wire, and you have 10 minutes each team to say yes or no?
I mean, I think it's like a 48-hour period.
Okay,
but yeah, I'd assume it's something like the transfer portal, where somebody pops up on the waiver wire, and then.
Or is it just like, okay, 48 hours, whoever throws in their bid to get him, then we'll figure out who the worst team is.
But it's not about the money bid, it's just claiming him.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah, like, but yeah. So if four teams claim him, then whoever's like the worst division, or I'm sorry, the worst record. Jim said, was it part of his contract, him working in their front office? What happened to that? It was.
Yeah. I think he agreed to some ridiculous thing, sort of like a lifetime contract. Where he basically agreed that he would work with them like forever.
I thought it was a 10-year deal as a player and a 10-year deal as an afterwards.
Like an endorsement deal, kind of like to do appearances and that kind of deal.
Yep, TV, whatever he wanted.
What they thought would be maybe the all-time leader in home runs, if not second, and that kind of situation.
So I assume them releasing him...
Releases him of everything.
Releases him of that, too.
I would assume... Yeah, because right now he might not be a popular figure out there for Angels fans. Hey, it's Albert Pujols. Get your ticket. Shut up! Hit the ball! So, because I remember thinking when I read that contract that after 10 more years, the Cardinals would be able to have him come back and do like a statue if you're going to do something like that. I thought that was the case back in the day. So, and I'm assuming that if you release him of that, then I agree with you, Trevor, that surely he won't have to go with that. But, yeah, that did not go well for Artie Moreno.
Can I throw a trivia question at you guys?
Let's do it.
In his time
Trevor
with the
Cahill.
Angels, how many all-star appearances did he have?
The easy answer here would be none.
I kind of want to say none.
I do, too. I'll say one.
Lon hit it.
One.
On the head, one.
What's his batting average now? What is his, like, overall batting
career?
Average? Yeah.
298.
298. And when he left St. Louis, his average was, like, 330.
Yes.
Did he just play, like, how much was his legacy tarnished by playing as much as he did? I don't think his legacy was tarnished by Lee. I mean, certainly that impacted for Cardinals fans a little bit when he left and went. I think it means more if you're in the same uniform, and you don't hardly see that much anymore. But I think that would have meant a lot more if he would have stayed in a St. Louis Cardinals uniform, even if he would have gone downhill like he has. I think his legacy would still be there. But, you know, his first 10 years or 9 years in Major League Baseball were as good as
anybody.
It was like top five. Like, we're talking Willie Mays, Joe DiMaggio. I mean, you pick a guy. And Albert Pujols had stats that were very comparable, if not better, in his first 9 or 10 years in baseball. So to where if you would have retired after that, you would honestly sit there and say, well, if he would have kept playing, I mean, he's the best player that's ever played. Or at least in the conversation of that. But then it's just been downhill since.
His first 8-9 years, ever any time with the Cardinals, you couldn't find, until his very last season in St. Louis, couldn't find a year when he didn't hit 30 to 35 home runs, bat at least 310.
Yep.
Which he had seasons of 330 up to even 359 is the high there. and then drive in over 100 runs.
Incredible. What is your best memory of Albert Pujols? I'm going to put you on the spot like you put Trent Beecham on the spot. See, it's hard,
isn't
it?
The most memorable for me is the one is in a series that the Cardinals ultimately lost is the Brad Lidge home run.
Oh, yes. Where the ball's still traveling.
Yeah. I think that's the one that sticks out first and foremost.
Was that an Enron?
Yes.
That didn't go.
Minute Maid.
Or Minute Maid?
I mean, it was formerly called Enron.
Enron, yeah, right? Because then they got in a lot of whole heap in trouble. And they're like, yeah, we're not going to have a stadium called Enron anymore. I think the one for me was the three home run game against the Rangers in the World Series. Was that right against the Rangers? Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
In Texas.
Yeah. But you know there's other, I don't know. It's amazing. I remember reading, I think Sports Illustrated did this, and I've said this before, but they did a story on him. And I tried to relay this to all the players I ever coached, but they were all like 8 years old and really weren't that interested in this because who wants to hit off a tee? But in the article, it said that Albert, during the offseason, would hit off a tee for 2 hours. I believe I'm right on this. 2 hours, and all he would do was hit the ball like over the second baseman. Like, he's hitting it against a wall, but he would technically just hit the ball over the second baseman, like in that area, over and over and over again. And the guy that wrote the article asked him, why are you hitting the ball in the same vicinity every time? Is that, I mean, I assume that's not by accident. And he said, if I can hit that ball where it's going right there, I can hit any ball. I can hit a ball anywhere I want to go. And I just thought that was really cool. But the other cool thing about that is that he would spend 2 hours a day in the offseason hitting off a tee. Now, when Jeremy Werner and I went down to Roger Dean Stadium when we first started this radio show, we started the show in November of 2010. Stevie sent us down for spring training in 11. And, of course, the Cardinals end up winning the World Series. And what would happen is you'd have to be at the clubhouse by 8 a.m. to get interviews. And most of the players would get there, you know, by 7:30 in the morning. I mean, they get up and get at it at spring training. Albert would be there at 5 a.m. I started talking to one of the parking guys, and he said, you know, my job, when Albert Pujols started on the Cardinals, my job ended up being 2 hours earlier than I've ever had to be here because Albert would come. So they wanted somebody there from the team to make sure that they got him parked and that they were basically watching over his car. While I'm sure he wasn't driving like a, an 04 Chevy Silverado or something. So it was one of those where he would get there early. So when we were in the clubhouse, all of a sudden, here comes Albert. And Jeremy and I are like, okay, so you know Jeremy well enough. Like you, Derek, you guys have to interview so many different people after wins, after losses. Sometimes they're tough interviews. Sometimes it's guys that don't want to talk. And you just know going in, there's a little bit of a nervous because you're like, oh, or like when I interviewed Bob Knight one time, but I was in a room full of reporters. And it's like, you know, whatever you ask him, it could be the most perfect question and he's going to absolutely tear you down. So Jeremy and I, who both have done this for a long time, right? We were like terrified because he comes walking in and picture he's got a bat behind his neck with holding it with both hands. So he's just like holding it there on his neck and he's huge. And he comes walking through the clubhouse at like 8:05 in an absolute downpour of sweat because he had just spent an hour in the hitting cage. And so he walks by and he just walks by us and we're like, should we ask him? So finally I'm like, all right, I'm going to ask him. So I go up to, because what you would do is you go up to the locker and like Matt Holliday was one I went up and I'm like, hey Matt, do you mind if I get like 5 minutes? And he's like, yeah, that's fine. And you start interviewing him, you know? So I walked up to Pujols. And I'm like, hey, Albert, do you mind if I grab a quick interview? He goes, yeah, I'm not doing those today. I'm like, thank you very much. And it was just like, I'm getting out of here because he's going to just beat me with his bat. But and you know what? I just hated it because I wanted to talk to Albert Pujols. And then the next 2 days, we were back in the clubhouse. I thought, well, tomorrow, maybe he's doing them tomorrow. He wasn't even in the clubhouse because he had already done his practice and was gone.
And he knew you were going to be there.
He knew I was going to be there, right. That's exactly right. And then he would come back later when they'd start doing, you know, field work and stuff. But he literally got his stuff done and got out of there, went home and showered, did all that, and then came back later when the media's when we were done. So
where was the Cardinals version of Derek Burson to save you there?
Yeah.
Say, you can talk to Albert today. No, you can't. Just leaving you out there.
Yeah, they leave you. Marty Marion? Is that his name? He's like that's not right. Marty Marion was a player, I think. But anyway, he's a really nice guy. But yeah, he basically told us, because I remember saying, how does this work? And then that's how we met Kevin Wheeler. And you know, we started talking to Kevin Wheeler, and of course, he's joined us ever since. And of course, I got a John Rooney story. John Rooney, we did our show right next to the broadcast booth of KMOX. And of course, a friend of mine, Jody Eversole, had helped us get Lou Brock and his wife. Lou and his wife came up for an hour and sat there for an hour. And after they left, they could not be any nicer. And after they left, Kevin Wheeler opened the window between the booth, the KMOX booth, and us, and he goes, dude, how did you just get Lou Brock for an hour? I'm like, we got connections? I don't know. I'm like, because when we finished, and I know I just said this not long ago, but we finished the first segment with Lou and his wife, and I literally signed off by saying, you know, that Lou Brock and his wife, and really appreciate their time. You know, Jeremy and I'll be back down to Roger Deem Stadium. We're back after this. You know, it's Connect FM or whatever. We were Tay and Jay show. And Lou looks at us and he's like, are we done? And I'm like, well, I mean, you can stay for the next hour, Lou, kidding. And he's like, yeah, we got nothing better to do. So they sat with us for an hour. But that's how I met Kevin Wheeler, who we still talk to today. Mike Claiborne was the guy that came for the Cardinals caravan here in Champaign. That's how we got to know him. And of course, those two have stayed on as guests forever, which was awesome. But yeah, that's just kind of how you do. I'd be like, Kevin, what do we do? And he's like, you pretty much just go up to him. He's like, you'll get a sense if that person wants to talk today. And for most of them, you know, they were happy to talk. And like all the rookies were on one side. Like Matt Carpenter had come to the caravan that year. So when we walked in, he actually knew me. Because the caravan was, what, February, I think we do the caravan. Is that right, Trevor? And then like we're down there in March. So we walk in the clubhouse, and Matt Carpenter's sitting there, and he kind of looks at me. He goes, hey, what's up, man? And now, if I saw Matt, he'd just walk right past me. But I'm fine with that. I'm totally fine with that. But, yeah, you know, so the rookies are on one side. Well, they're all about, like, oh, heck yeah, I'll talk. And then the veterans like Matt Holliday, Yadi Molina, and those guys, they were just kind of doing their own thing. Mm-hmm. And they'd let you know if you want. Now, Waino spoke. Waino was cool. But yeah, but I'll never forget that with Albert Pujols.
And in case you were wondering, my least favorite Albert memory is him hitting a walk-off home run against the Cubs.
Oh.
I think like back-to-back-to-back days or something.
That's right. He had the one monster game at Wrigley.
Maybe he walked it off three straight days to sweep the series, but two of them were home runs.
Man.
And one of them was like a deep double or something. This was like 2010. It was
yes.
later.
Yes.
But I just remember watching that as an impressionable fan going, that guy sucks. I hate that guy.
I don't like him, whoever he is. You know, and again, he was in Kansas City playing for a JUCO, and a Cardinals scout saw him and went to the meeting when all the scouts got together before the draft, and he, like, just kept saying, you have to draft this guy. And I think it ended up in the 14th round, the Cardinals took Albert Pujols, and the rest is history.
I remember going to a game at Wrigley. Trevor's going to enjoy this story. Wind was blowing out, saw Chris Duncan hit one. Edmonds hit one out, then Roland. Cardinals blew the game in the ninth. Soriano either hit a home run or drove in the runs to tie the game. It goes to extras.
Oh, boy.
And then off of Ryan Dempster, I believe, Pujols hits one onto the street.
Bam!
Cardinals win that game.
You made me think of a memory. We went down for Tay Day, and it's the same kind of memory. We went down for Tay Day, and the Cardinals and Cubs went extra innings. Well, we were in, like, at the time was called, well, I think it's still the Coca-Cola scoreboard patio, that's what it was. And so it's all you can drink and eat such. Well, that runs out after like the seventh inning, right? So, well, we had just kind of hoarded some beer. You know, we even had people that weren't drinking saying, just go get a couple. So we had enough beer, right? So the game goes extra innings, goes to the 10th, and one of my buddies is like, how long are we staying here? And everybody else had kind of left. Like, a lot of the group had gone to patios, and they're like, hey, we'll meet you at patios. I'm like, well, I'm going to stay and see if. And I told my buddy, I'm like, let's wait one more inning because Albert's coming up in the 10th. And he hit a solo home run to win it. And we did a big chest bump in Coca-Cola scoreboard patio. I think we both about fell. I'm like, we don't need to be doing that. So that was another Pujols memory. We're saying this. People tuning in are like, wait, did he sign with the Cardinals? No, he hasn't. We're just kind of going down memory lane. But
and I was also trying to think of players who did make that kind of the farewell return.
Yeah.
To a spot. I know Griffey ultimately finished with the Mariners.
That's right.
Scottie Pippen ended up going back to the Bulls.
He did?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
I think he played 23 games from the Bulls in 23 and 03 and 04.
I do not remember that.
Ichiro is another one.
Okay.
Ichiro was with the Miami Marlins, and then he played at age 44 and 45.
Incredible.
For Seattle.
And hit 380.
Only 17 games in two seasons combined. But
that's, I mean, I think Albert, I want him back. I'm sorry. And part of the reason is he is the best player that I've ever seen in person for my team. Now, I saw Barry Bonds, and Barry Bonds certainly was unbelievable. Now, he had some help. We don't know whether Albert had help. I mean, you know, that's never been proven or even talked about. But for a Cardinal, like, I wasn't around for Stan Musial. I wasn't around for Bob Gibson. I've been around for Yachty. But you're not comparing Yachty to Albert Pujols when it comes to pure stats of baseball.
You saw McGuire. You saw Edmonds.
Yep, I saw all those guys, and they were very good. But the idea that I watched I watched a surefire first ballot Hall of Famer in Albert Pujols, and a lot of us have. I mean, I'm not alone on this. And I think it's the marriage there that I want to see closure on it. And by closure, meaning I want him back in a Redbird uniform to close it out, retire, all's forgiven, here's your statue, here's your big day, and then I'll go down in life by basically, you know, like 20 years from now, my grandkids will be like, so do you remember Albert Pujols, Grandpa? And I'm like, oh my gosh, sit down, I'm going to tell you about him. Kind of like I did with my dad and Stan Musial, or talking to guys, you know, that maybe back in the day saw like a Rogers Hornsby or somebody like that. I mean, that's the kind of thing, somebody that watched Fergie Jenkins pitch, or Ernie Banks play. You know, I mean, that's just our era. There are certain guys, you know, you're seeing it with Mike Trout, but Albert Pujols is that guy for me, and I just want to see it come full closure. I really, really want to see it full closure. But, oh well. Heath said he's the only player ever to go 330-100 for his first 10 years at the time he left. If you read the article in STL Today this morning, it's Albert's option to exercise the personal services contract beginning next year. Thank you, Heath. I did not get a chance of all days. Normally, that's one of the things I do when I get to work. I just jump on real quick and look at a line I inquire. True story. And then I look on STL Today just to kind of see if there's anything I'm missing, but I didn't have a chance to do that this morning. So that's interesting. I guess it's up to him if he wants to exercise that with the Angels. But certainly, I mean, I don't know. Put him in a uniform and let's go. All right, we got to catch a break. 359-2255. I've been trying to hold off on it, but can I ask you about Gentry and the assistants? And do we want to talk about that, Trevor?
If you must.
I know. Is there something else that we can talk about?
Or we can put together a parlay for tonight. Ooh, with Nolan Arenado hitting a home run against his former team.
Let's put together a parlay for St. Louis Cardinals baseball tonight. I almost, full disclosure, when we come back, I almost nailed a Cubs a four-leg parlay?
Yeah.
I almost nailed it today. I'll tell you about that, and then you can help us put together a parlay of the Cardinals. Like, we need, like, who do you feel like on the Cardinals is going to get a home run tonight? Is it Arenado against his former team? They're facing a lefty in Austin Gomber, so maybe don't go left-handed, guys. Who do you feel comfortable getting a hit? Is there anybody you feel really comfortable about getting two hits? Things like that. If you're riding a hunch, let us know at 359-2255. It is a drive.
Mow, dig, haul, lift. The versatile Kubota BX Series subcompact tractor does it all. Switching attachments is simple, and a smooth hydrostatic transmission makes for easy operation. The Kubota BX Series, the number one selling subcompact tractor in the U.S. for over 10 years. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo.
Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Berkey's, your local Kubota dealer at 2202 South High Cross Road in Urbana. If you're looking for a car dealership that is 100% attentive to detail, cares deeply about your satisfaction, and carries cars, trucks, SUVs, and vans that you want to drive, look no further than Sarah Champagne. Sarah Champagne knows you have high expectations, but they enjoy the challenge of meeting and exceeding those standards each and every time. Allow them to demonstrate their commitment to excellence. Sarah Honda, Sarah BMW, Sarah GMC, Sarah Buick, and Sarah Subaru in Savoy. Or find them online at sarahchampagne.com. You have money laying all around your house. You just don't know it. And no, I don't mean selling your great-grandma's good china. I mean all the old metal items you don't want to use or get rid of. Don't pay someone to haul it away. Bring it into Max Twin City Recycling and get paid to have it taken off your hands. They love new customers and are more than willing to walk you through their process step by step. Come check them out at 2808 North Lincoln Avenue in Urbana.
Starting it over is what we do at Max Twin City Recycling.
Hey, could you tell me what aisle your car batteries are in?
Sure, I'll go grab one for you. Here's your battery. It might be expired, but oh well. Also, the brand isn't that great, but it should work for at least a year or two, maybe. Anyways, I went ahead and charged you for it, and here's the battery. Okay, have a great day.
What just happened?
Sometimes good things are hard to find, but they're worth the wait. Make the trip out to Interstate All Battery Center at 2504 North Mattis Avenue and get all of your battery needs taken care of by the trusted professionals. Give them a call today at 355-4855.
This is Gina from ABC Heating and Air Conditioning. If you're looking for a top-of-the-line air conditioner, think Amana. We carry all sizes and offer expert installation. ABC Heating and Air Conditioning is locally owned, and we've been in business for 50 years, and for 50 years, the only brand we've sold is Amana. So go with a company that is local, dependable, and will be there for you no matter what time of day or night. ABC, always be comfortable. Let us install your new Amana air conditioner. Visit www.abcheatingandac.com.
Hey kids, want to hear a scary story? It was a dark and stormy night, and suddenly, from out of nowhere, a noise. It was a company's hard drive failing after being struck by an IT disaster. Kids? Where'd you go?
It might not sound scary, but over 90% of small businesses fail within 2 years after being struck by an IT disaster. Let Area-Wide Technologies in Champaign design a recovery plan for you. Give them a call at 359-8041. Long's Garage in Urbana is the oldest auto repair facility in the area. In fact, they've been in business 80 years. That spanned 20 presidential elections. The population of Champaign-Urbana 80 years ago was around 23,000. Now it's over 210,000, and Long's is still proudly serving all of them. There aren't many places that can survive and thrive through 80 years of outstanding service, so give Long's a shot at 503 East Main Street in Urbana or online at longsautomotiverepair.com.
Cancer affects all of us. At American Eagle Auto Glass, a portion of their proceeds in the month of May will be donated to cancer centers in Champaign, Urbana, and Danville. American Eagle Auto Glass is a locally owned company. They do auto glass repair, replacement, and mobile windshield repair. Hopefully you won't need them, but if you do, remember, in the month of May, they'll donate a portion of their proceeds to cancer centers in Champaign, Urbana, and Danville because it's important to give back. AmericanEagleAutoGlass.com.
Summer is right around the corner. Make sure to stop into Game Day Spirit this spring and check out their great selection of Illini merchandise. Shop polos, tanks, crops, tees, and more, all from great brands such as Tommy Bahama, Champion, and Nike. With new styles arriving daily, there's something for every Illini fan. Shop at Game Day Spirit at the corner of Neil and Kirby in Champaign, 6th and Green in Campustown, or 24/7 online at GameDaySpirit.com.
Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop.
Are you ready to travel? It's the American Queen Upper Mississippi Cruise, and you're invited. Hey, it's Stevie J. Finally, we have a trip. Join us along with the Champaign County Farm Bureau and Lois Wood and our tour leader, Mary Beth Karasik, for this wonderful August getaway. It's August 21st through the 29th. We'll start in Alton, Illinois. We'll cruise all the way up the Mississippi to Red Wing, Minnesota, stopping in Clinton, Iowa, La Crosse, Wisconsin, and Hannibal, Missouri, home of Mark Twain. Join us for this incredible trip on the Mississippi, and all of the crew and passengers will be fully vaccinated. Prices start at just $3,362, but space is limited. You can visit steviejtravel.com, that's steviejtravel.com, to get all your information. Or for more information, just call us, 217-840-9913. For the American Queen Upper Mississippi Cruise, August 21st through the 29th. Stevie J Travel, where do you want to go?
Service through trust, integrity, and respect. Hi, I'm Officer Walton with the Champaign Police Department. I'd like to invite you to join our team as an entry-level police officer. Serving the public is more than just a job. It's a rewarding career to help strengthen neighborhoods, safeguard public safety, and to work collaboratively with the diverse community we proudly serve. To learn more and apply for this exciting opportunity with competitive pay and benefits, please visit the Champaign Police Department's website. Are you up for the challenge? Apply now.
The Urbana Park District needs you. That's right, they're hiring lifeguards. You'll learn leadership and life-saving skills. You'll also get on-site training and get paid to help the public stay safe. So dive into this exciting opportunity with the Urbana Park District. Candidates must be responsible, mature people age 15 and over. To apply, visit urbanaparks.org/jobs or call 217-367-1544. Make a splash and get recognized by becoming a lifeguard with the Urbana Park District. Apply online today at urbanaparks.org.
Hey Illini fans, it's your girl Chinee Ogumike. Catch Lante and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, this hour of the drive is brought to you by Rector Construction. Rector is the reliable roofing, construction, or remodeling company in Central Illinois. With the weather getting warmer, it's time to think about your roof. This is the year to have your roof inspected and maybe even replaced. You can trust the team at Rector to get that done for you. Their key mission is giving back to the community. Call or text Rector today, 217-281-7000, or visit them online at rectorconstruction.com. That's 281-7000, or online at rectorconstruction.com.
Can I tell a story about this song? And then
I hope that you would.
Wade is like, hey, I didn't get your answer. Who's Chester Frazier going to bump first? His vote is Juwan Howard. I'll give you mine. But this song, when it started to become a... Now, he's from St. Louis, right?
That's Nelly.
Oh, that's Nelly. Okay, so either way, I was in St. Louis for a Cardinals game, and I walked into a bar. We had gone to a bar before the game down in Laclede's, and they had this song going. It's like 1 in the afternoon, right? And there are like 6 girls on the bar dancing to this, and I'm like, ow! Good song, I guess. And I don't know why every time I hear it, it's the first thought I have are six girls dancing on the bar.
Okay.
For 50 Cent. Fitty.
Fitty.
If I say 50 Cent, that's not right. It's 50 Cent, and it's in the club. All right, that's cool stuff. All right, Trevor, who are you bumping? If Chester Frazier could bump one coach in the Big Ten, who you wanting him to bump?
I mean, Fran's the minus like 350 favorite in that. Just in my opinion, just because they already had the little scuff up.
Yes.
Was it 2 years ago now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
That's crazy.
I guess it wouldn't have been a good look during COVID if they were scuffling.
That's true.
Amongst coaches. Yeah.
No, it wouldn't have been.
But someone already texted it in. Izzo would be my dark horse pick for that.
That was a riding choice.
Yeah.
I think he needs to get bumped.
It's weird on him because, like, again, he's a guy that's just I've always respected. But then of late, I'm like, just retire. I'm tired of hearing you complain. You've made enough money. You've won a national title. You've done your thing, man. You carried the torch for the Big Ten for many years. Just retire. There's got to be a place down on a beach somewhere that's got your name on it. Go. Mine, without a doubt, is Juwan Howard. And it's because... I'll tell you, there's a few reasons. The biggest one, though, is the fact that you told me he would not even talk to Brad Underwood in that game at Michigan. When Illinois went to Michigan, yep. There was all the talk about, you know, oh, they're going to give Michigan the title. And then, of course, Illinois goes up and thumps him by, 22 or whatever it was. But you told me before the game Underwood went up to him and Juwan Howard would not even talk to him.
I could tell from where I was seated, and I was... up a few rows there at Chrysler, that Juwan wanted nothing to do with that interaction. And I kind of inquired about that afterwards, and I was told, yeah, he wouldn't even say a word to him.
Unreal.
And Brad went back and told Orlando and Chin that, and then they relayed that to the players, and there was an inspired Illini club that night. Not that there wouldn't have been anyway, but.
Amen. Amen on that. You can call me Sal, says Bobby Knight. He and I are in the same range there. I agree. I would have loved to have bumped. I would have bumped Bobby Knight. He's a big guy, though. Bobby Knight. He's big. All right, so this parlay tonight, Jack Flaherty's on the hill. I looked earlier, Trevor, and his over strikeouts is 7.5. Well, let me first tell you what I did with the Cubs today.
So just for giggles, I decided to do a four-leg parlay on the Cubs for them to win, check. For them to win the first half, which means they have to be winning after the fifth inning, check. For David Bodie to get a hit, first time up, he singled up the middle, had two hits, I think, check. All I needed was Zach Davies to strike out four guys, and he struck out one.
Mm.
So I didn't win the parlay. I don't think I lost it, because I think if you hit three or four, you get maybe your money back. But all right, so what are we doing tonight? You got? Are you feeling Flaherty over 7.5 against Colorado?
That's a good question.
Are they kind of a free-swinging
team? I'd have to look that up.
I can run through some of these props if you want to yay or nay them.
You want me to give the wagers real quick on Sunday's race at Darlington? Kyle Larson plus 400. You know who I'm feeling there?
Kyle Larson?
Kevin Harvick. Oh. Hasn't won a race this year. He's plus 550.
Is every single racer's name start with a K? Kurt, Kyle, Kevin.
Jeff Gordon. Well, he doesn't race anymore. Brad Keselowski. Yeah, put your money on Kevin Harvick. Plus 550. Lay down five, you'd win $55.
You ever think about how that's a free tip?
That's a free tip.
You ever think about how if you're a NASCAR guy who's really good, you at max have only had like 10 years of training because you can't drive until you're 16?
Oh, are you kidding me? These kids are driving.
I mean, yeah, I guess.
They're driving midget cars.
Like, unlike, you know, like Todd Frazier,
right,
they can say, this kid, Todd Frazier, was in the Little League World Series at 8 years old.
That's fair.
You can't start. You don't know if you're going to be a NASCAR driver until you're at least like 17 or 18, right? Because you can't see your chops driving an actual car.
It's interesting because they'll race midgets, you know. And then, listen, there's kids at Macon Speedway and over in Farmer City. I'm guessing there's been kids that under 16 that have been getting in, you know, modifieds, late modifieds, racing the dirt. And that's kind of a lot of where they start.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Like, how do you identify prospects for driving?
I totally get it. For a layman, like... And you are. I mean, listen, I'm kind of a layman when it comes to NASCAR and such, but I've watched it most of my life.
How do you go, the way that kid turned left at that streetlight, he's going to be a NASCAR driver.
Yeah, well, a lot of them, you know, are just kind of destined. They've got some money behind them, this and that. You know, there's things, you know, but certainly there's certain drivers that just kind of make it on their own, and they're the ones that probably, I guess, show enough promise at that young age to get that done. Where were we at?
Anyway, sorry, that was a total.
You know, another guy, Denny Hamlin. I know I'm throwing out two, like, guys that should, but Hamlin's won this year. Hamlin is really tough at Darlington. But put your money on Kevin Harvick, the vet.
Okay.
I got a story on Kevin Harvick.
Nope.
Okay.
You're done with your stories today, okay?
I need to literally just write a book about things, because... Yeah, I interviewed Kevin Harvick after Dale Earnhardt died, and he ended up driving the three car. And I didn't know Kevin Harvick from Trevor Valise.
That actually is pretty cool.
That is kind of cool. I was like, cool. What's your name? He's like, Kevin Harvick. I'm like, nice to meet you. And then the next thing I know, he's in the three. I'm like, whoa, guy must be better than I thought. All right, so.
Jack Flaherty over under 7.5 strikeouts. Now you're getting the juice plus 118.
Now he throws. The problem could be is that he only pitches five innings. Because he's thrown 98.
What's his game log look like in terms of strikeouts? Do we have that?
He usually throws quite a bit, right? Quite a few Ks.
Efforting. I can tell you that Colorado's middle of the pack as far as K percentage.
Okay.
So no advantage or disadvantage either way.
7.5 is a big number.
It is.
He had 9 in his last start at Pittsburgh, 6 against the Reds, 5 before that, 6-6-4.
Well, let's go under.
I mean, you're not getting much at minus 150.
Okay.
I would personally just lay off of that.
Okay, let's lay off that.
Gomber's over-under is 5.5 at plus 130.
A lefty always gives the Cardinals issues.
Gomber returning to St. Louis.
Yeah.
He's going to get beat up tonight.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so how about the first half? You think the Cardinals will be winning after the first half?
Yes, I like that.
Okay.
All right, so that's minus 145.
How about the game?
Go first half and the game.
Okay, those two are automatic.
And then put...
You could do the Lante special, the 0-0 after first. And then I've been burned nine out of 10 times.
You're basically at even money if you're going Cardinals first half and Cardinals for the game.
Okay.
So Gomber's ERA this year is 6.
Ooh.
He's not great.
No.
I can also tell you Nolan Arenado's hitting .315 against lefties.
Hello. And you've got the strong narrative of this is the first time he's facing the club that basically traded him for nothing.
Mm.
So
he's definitely going to get a hit.
So under the to record a hit category, he's minus 340, which isn't great. But no. if you think it's going to happen, you might as well throw it in there.
You could. Right? Or how about two hits?
Now, if you go to two hits for Nolan Arenado, it's plus 185.
You guys
know better about the home run or the two hits?
I don't. Because
we had this dilemma last time.
Yeah, the home run is plus 370, so you're almost tripling your odds from the two hits.
Let's go home run.
I can tell you right now, if you did Cardinals money line, Cardinals first half, and Arenado to hit a home run, it's plus 561.
Whoa!
So $5 there would win you 28.
Okay, and then let's go. We got to go one more leg, right?
You could pick one other person to get a hit if you wanted.
How
or
about
one of the innings to be scoreless and pick an inning?
Who's the guy that's going to get it? You know who the guy I've never bet to get a hit is? Tommy Edman. He leads like the National League in hits. Now he's going against the lefty. I assume he's in the lineup. How about Tyler O'Neill to get a hit? You feeling that?
Minus 270.
Carlson will be switched around to the left side tonight.
Edman actually has higher odds, lower.
Yeah, I know what I mean.
Than Arenado. He's minus 330, and Arenado is minus 340.
Ooh. It's up to you guys. Is there anybody on Colorado? I don't like going Colorado, not against Flaherty.
The person with the best price to get a hit in terms of what you would return on the Cardinals is Harrison Bader at only minus 150.
So you're only getting minus 150 for him to get a hit?
Yeah.
So there's no pluses on hits.
For some reason, that's how that works.
Yeah.
Even when Matt Carpenter was like really slumping, it was like minus 110 for him to get a hit. So.
Do you have faith in Harrison Bader? He does hit lefties well, guys. How about a Bader hit, Arenado homer, Cardinals win first half. $10 pays you what?
10 to 1, basically.
So plus 10 gets
you, plus nice. 980.
Get you $100?
So if you put $10 on that, you would win $98.
I'm in.
But you got to have Nolan Arenado hit a home run and Harrison Bader get a hit.
I need somebody to borrow or lend me $9, essentially. Somebody said Carlson. He has been hot.
Carlson's minus 210. So if you swap out Bader and put in Carlson, you're looking at plus 870. So if you put in 10, you'd win 87.
And he'd probably get an extra hit.
How's he been from the right side?
I mean, yeah, how has he been from that right side? You guys have the computers in front of you. I don't.
The listeners are just getting in on the conversation that we have as soon as we're done with the show. Like, this is normally what we're doing.
Correct. This is exactly what we do four nights, at least four of the five nights.
I will say any inning to be 0-0 is minus 150, which is the same odds as Bader getting a hit.
Oh.
So if you feel more confident in some inning of the game being a draw than Bader getting a hit, you could just pick an inning and hope that nothing happens in that inning.
I say,
if that makes sense,
0-0 in the second.
So the second inning would be a draw, in other words.
Or third. Because technically you'd be getting down, although there's a fear you're getting back around. What do you think, Derek?
Seems a little dicey. You've dabbled with the 0-0s. I know in the first inning, and then you parlay with a guy to hit a home run, and then that guy hits a home run in the first inning.
Yeah, that ruined it. Yeah, it was,
contradicting yourself.
Correct.
I can say Carlson is 8-for-18 against lefties this year, so he's hitting .444.
Let's do Carlson to get a hit.
Okay, let's do Carlson to get a hit.
So your final parlay would be Cardinals win the first half, meaning they lead after five innings.
Okay.
Cardinals win the game overall. Nolan Arenado hits a home run, and Dylan Carlson gets a hit.
Okay.
And that's plus 870. So if you put $5 on that, you'd win about 45, 50 total. And if you put $10 on that, you'd win 87, almost 100 total.
Okay. Done. That's what we got. That's your parlay for the night. And we got to take a break. It's The Drive.